Hello and welcome to the Moncast,
a podcast where we watch Pokemon and Digimon in tandem and discuss the similarities and the differences that they share.
My name's Stevie.
And I'm Sam.
The score currently stands at 22-21 to Pokemon, and this time we are watching episode 44, Trash Day and Attack of the Prehistoric Pokemon. Across the nation. This is a theme song. It's not very long. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's.
So we have two tweets from May at Ancient Irismon on Twitter. First one says, watching Pokemon in the bath for the next episode of the Moncast. And it's a picture of Misty's face, which is lovely.
What, Misty's face is lovely?
Yes.
Yeah, no, don't watch things with a laptop in the bath. That's terrifying.
It's on a table next to the bath.
Okay, that's not as bad. It reminds me of something I saw on Tumblr, which is how do people read books in the bath? And then there's like three images, one of a music sheet stand, and then one of binoculars, and one with those like trash picker uppers so you can read like that. I used to play my DS in the bath and stuff, and I was always terrified of dropping it. When I had a Game Boy Micro, I had that in like a Ziploc bag. Just in case.
And the other tweet that we have from May says, in playing games, the noise that Hikari hears is homeostasis. It's foreshadowing how she gets possessed in a few episodes.
In the episode we're watching today, she has it happen as well. I forgot about homeostasis being a thing.
This is a really, really subtle way of foreshadowing it.
It's better than whatever Matt's doing at the moment.
Ah, Matt's having a jolly old time.
Thank you for the tweets.
Oh, and we can confirm that May is up to date on the podcast now. So we'll get more tweets. Oh, and also I apologise for the episode being so late last week. I had a sad weekend.
Don't worry about it.
No reason, I just felt sad.
You feel sad now?
Pretty much.
Nah, as long as we get like one episode out a week, it's fine.
Yeah, I spent pretty much the entire weekend in my pyjamas.
That's fine. I had the last week off work and I just, from having not a lot of free time to a lot of free time, I didn't know what to do and I ended up just like eating cereal up. In the morning.
And the other bit of administration is my Nuzlocke and how it went. So, grinding for Elite Four, I got Darren up to level 60, Kite up to level 60.
I didn't know you were going to go into this much detail. I thought you were going to be like, everybody died and failed miserably.
No, because that's not how it ended. I also realised that a lot of people won't know the names. So, I got Darren the Hypno up to 60, Kite the Kabutops up to 60, and Volby the Nidoqueen up to 60. Then got bored of grinding and decided not to level up the other three members of my team. So I basically went in with half a team that were actually ready to fight. First one was against ice types. Darren the Hypno just beat them easily because special Pokemon are really good in the first game. Then it was ground types, which I used Kite the Kabutops against and just used Surf a lot, and that was easy. Then it was the ghost types. And of course, Darren the Hypno just wiped them out. Then Dragon types, I just used a mix of my Pokemon to beat them. It was between Kite and Darren that did most of the work. Because Kite knew Blizzard, which I taught with the TM. So that was useful against all the Dragon types. And then the Champion I beat pretty easily.
What did you think of TMs being usable once?
That was the thing for ages. I didn't have a problem with it.
It's like, because it's not been in a few games now, like, it's cool, but going back to thinking of, like, how you got Earthquake once and only once, it's like, that's insane.
I didn't mind. I used Surf on Volmi and Kite, because Surf is really good.
That's another thing, though, in older games you couldn't get rid of moves, so, like, if you taught your Pokemon Surf, it could never not learn Surf.
So, yeah, I beat the Elite Four and the Champion. And completed my Pokemon Yellow Nuzlocke using only three Pokemon against them. There were no more deaths as well, which is the best part.
What are you playing next?
I've played like a couple hours of Pokemon Moon. I'll sink time into it eventually, but I bought another P-Cross game, so I've been playing those on the 3DS. I'm going to be Nuzlocking Moon though, so I've made a start. I ended up getting Popplio at random, which I'm happy about. And then I called it B? Do you want to know why I called it B?
Yes.
Because I tried to name it with my eyes closed just to get an idea and accidentally hit enter.
Oh.
And I love its name. It's just B? It's literally just the letter B. It just says, like, you're questioning it. B?
It's B, maybe?
Why is it called B? And there's literally no reason.
Just don't question it. It's fine.
And I've not played it enough to remember the names of my other Pokemon.
Shall we get on with this episode now?
Fine. The first episode we are watching this time is Trash day.
Whilst Matt leaves the group to go have an existential crisis and talk to a tree, the rest of the kids fight garbage to pad out the episode as much as they can. Need I say more? Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions. Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon. The episode starts
with Matt saying digis.
He says digis in the recap.
Yeah, this is the episode where he says digis in the recap. It's because when I checked on my PS4, it started the next episode before I went back. So I can complain about him saying digis again, even though it's technically the first time he said it.
Okay, well, the episode starts with the kids calling out for Matt because they've finally noticed him missing. And Joe tells them that he saw Matt and Gabumon walk off.
This is inconsistent because last episode, Joe was really confused about why Matt wasn't there anymore.
And also, he could have said sooner that Matt's just walked away instead of letting them call out for Matt a couple of times.
But they need to pad out the episode.
But then they talk about how Matt's been acting strange lately and how he couldn't get Gabumon to evolve in the last episode. Which is like, I don't actually remember, like the last time I watched Adventure, I don't remember Matt having this problem with evolution. Which is cool, like it gives him kind of a reason to go and do the thing that he's doing. Because apart from that, even though that itself is kind of really flimsy, like his brother seems to have been able to look after himself against the Dark Master. And now he has problems getting Gabumon to evolve. It's still not kind of enough for him to warrant leaving, in my eyes.
Well, he's always kind of been the lone wolf, just forced into the group.
Kinda, I guess. It's only really times when he goes off and plays his harmonica. Apart from that, though, he's really a lone wolf because he's been in situations where the gang has been separated.
Yeah, but I think in this case he just needed time to think.
But they're walking along and talking about how Matt's had this problem, and then Kari can hear a voice, and I think that might be homeostasis that she's hearing. Like, it's another little hint that the thing's going to happen, which is like what Mei said about in the last episode, she heard a voice. This time we also hear, well, we see Kari going, oh, that's not Matt. It's like, okay, cool. Another little teaser.
And then do the garbage man attack? I've not actually taken many notes on the garbage man themselves.
Oh, I've taken a lot of notes. It cuts to Matt, who's walking along a river or a lake or some body of water. And we see Cherrymon and Puppetmon on the other side talking about Matt. And the thing is, he's not really that far away. And I think he would have noticed a giant tree with a face and also a tiny puppet on its shoulder.
I don't think he would, because he's too busy brooding and staring at the floor.
Oh, he's too busy involved in his own anguish.
He is staring directly at the floor and just being angry.
But Matt's thinking that he can't expect his friends to help him get stronger. And it's like, okay, but your crest is literally the crest of friendship. Your power is through your friends. So you can't exactly say to yourself, I can't expect my friends to help me get stronger. It's like, no, everybody's relying on each other. But you should especially be the one to have everybody else help you to become stronger. It's kind of your deal. Like, all the crests are things that they kind of have issues with. Like, Ty had his with courage, Sora had hers with love and everything. So Matt's kind of failing because he's having issues with friendship. He should be able to... They're almost like they're things they need to draw out of themselves more to become better people. So running away from all of his friends and saying that he doesn't need them to get stronger, it's kind of going against what he needs to do and what he has done already. Like, the last big evolution he got, apart from the ridiculous convoluted mega evolution, was helping Joe and saving Joe's life. And if he had looked back at that and said, you know what, the last time I got severely powered up on my own terms was when I tried to save Joe, but he's not. He's deciding that he doesn't need anybody's help to get powerful. He's saying, like, everyone else has changed so much and he's still the same jerk he always was. Just like, okay. It doesn't really excuse him for being poorly written, but it does kind of give him a bit more of a reason why he has been a jerk if the plot demands it for this moment. If the plot's aware that he has been a jerk all this time, then okay, but you didn't have to make him a jerk.
I don't think you can really forgive them for that.
I'm not forgiving them, but I can understand why they would use this to explain why he's poorly written.
It's not an excuse though.
Oh no, this is an excuse. I'm seeing why they would use it.
Making his arc about him angsting about not having his own arc isn't a good arc. He goes away to brood and be angry about not developing. That doesn't excuse him not developing.
He literally leaves because TK has managed to escape a Dark Master without his help. And I'm like, okay, be happy that your brother's not dead. Be happy that he was lucky enough to escape in his own way. If it was any other Dot Master, he would be dead. But because it's Puppetmon and Puppetmon's quite childish, TK's managed to survive by being childish. Just be happy that's happened. Don't be all like, oh, TK doesn't need me now. It's like, he probably does against, you know, literally any other Digimon. It just so happens that this one is a child mentally.
Matt doesn't do logic good.
No, he doesn't, because he needs to be emotional and broody.
That's all he can do is brood and be wrong about everything.
Then it cuts to Ty, who is great. He's just stomping along, having none of Matt's moody. He's like, he's not letting Matt split the team up. He's going to go and find him. Let's go find where Matt is. I'm like, yeah, good. Ty's just had enough of Matt. And he's like, no, not being the moody miserable one. We're not having this right now. We have the world, like the last Dark Master they fought. Like, first of all, the world's been turned into a giant tower. They've defeated one of them and that part of the world dissolved. There's three left to fight. Right now is not the time to go and have a little whingy session. So come on, let's go find him. Let's drag him back to what we're doing. Which is quite good. I like Ty. He's good. I mean, he's kind of an idiot, but
he seems a bit too happy about this dire situation that they're in.
He's trying to be positive, I think.
No, he's really excited about being the leader in this massive quest to save the world. It's like he's role-playing.
Yeah, okay. He is a bit too excited.
Role-playing the character of leader rather than actually taking it quite seriously enough.
I think he's just having an emotional high from defeating Metal Seedramon. That's the first Dark Master down. I think he's kind of happy about that still, because it was essentially just War Greymon who defeated it, so he might be happy from that. It cuts to the other members of the team talking about how they're walking too much, and there's a shot of Mimi, which is interesting because her head's lowered and it looks like she's having like a quiet reflective moment to herself, but they give her a line about how her ankles are really swollen, and it doesn't really match what it looks like because she looks kind of upset almost, because you can't really see her face, it's hidden by her hat because her head's lowered. And I thought it was kind of stupid for the dub to give her a line here about her ankles being all swollen or something because she's walking too much. This is foreshadowing for the next bit, which is because this is where Puppetmon appears with Garbage Mom, who are firing poop at the kids. And this is where Mimi reveals that she's kind of just had enough of all this. And she just grabs a poop out of the air and just throws it back at them in protest. And it makes me really happy. It kind of detracts from what she's done, because the dub gives her another dumb line straight after it. And I feel like it's kind of an important moment for Mimi, because it's part of where you can see her changing again. She's now more along the lines of, okay, people I care about have died. I can't just be a wuss about this anymore. I'm actually kind of done with this. I just want to make the world a better place again. And her protest is just to grab an attack. She doesn't know what would have happened if it had touched her. Maybe it would have deleted her hand or something. But she's like, nope, I'm going to grab it and throw it back at him. So I like that moment. It's kind of an important moment for her. Because it's kind of the turn.
It's where she finally snaps.
It cuts back to Matt, who's talking to Cherrymon, and I hate Cherrymon because there are so many tree puns, and I hate when they do this. Like, giving things puns based on what they are. Like, giving the Divermon and all the fish Digimon just fish puns because they're fish. And tree puns for the tree because he's a tree. And cat puns for Gatomon because Gatomon's a cat. Like, this, Cherrymon has an internal dialogue with himself, and he says he fell for it like an overripe fig. I'm like, that's not even a phrase people use.
It's because he's a tree Digimon.
Fell for it like an overripe fig. What do you mean?
An overripe fig just falls.
Yeah, but how can an overripe fig fall for it?
It just means he fell for it like something that fell. It's not that complicated.
So when something falls, it falls down. When you fall for something,
it doesn't matter. It's a different type of falling.
It's a dumb phrase that he thought to himself.
Would you rather he said he fell for it like a gullible idiot? That's not a tree pun. That's just blatantly obvious.
He doesn't need the tree puns.
It's like it's part of his personality, though. I like Cherrymon and his tree puns.
You don't like Cherrymon. Stop this.
I do like Cherrymon.
You're lying to us all and you know it.
He's got a really just standard basic Digimon design, which I really like. It's literally just old man tree. And he makes tree puns.
He does not need to have all these tree puns.
He doesn't need them, but I feel like they add to him. Because he's trying to come across as friendly. And making all these little jokes work to try and lower Matt's guard.
Something, I'll talk more about it later, where I have a problem with the jokes.
The majority of the jokes all came from Cherrymon, though, which I'm absolutely fine with. Because I feel like they're part of his character and trying to win over Matt.
A lot of the bad guys tend to throw out puns and jokes. But yeah, so Shaoyuman tells Matt to look into the river to see his true rival, who's stopping him from getting stronger, which is, like, suspicious, because it's Tai. And it's like, Matt even says, what kind of trick is this? Like, for me, if I'm in a world where there are creatures that could do amazing, wonderful things, and there's a tree that's talking to me and saying, you won't get stronger until you defeat your true rival. Look in the water, there's your true rival. Oh, look, it's one of the members of the team I've been hanging out with.
Who else is going to be his rival?
But he doesn't have to kill him to get stronger. That's not how rivals work.
Well, he doesn't try to kill him. He tries to kill his Digimon, which is an entirely different thing.
We'll see what happens in the next episode.
There isn't really anyone else to be his rival.
After Matt says that, you know, what kind of trick is this? It cuts back to the other kids again, who are still running away from the garbage mom.
Hooray!
It's a lot like what happened in the last episode, where they want to focus on this one person. And what they'll do now is they'll just get the other kids to fight some Digimon that, instead of fighting, what they would normally do in a fight would be that someone would digivolve, they'll attack it, it won't be strong enough, they'll digivolve again and attack it and win. Instead, they've got them running around and there being loads of them and stuff. So they have everybody evolve into their champion forms and attack, which beats all of them apart from one, who fires a poop at Mimi, and that triggers Lilymon for some reason.
Kind of. I think they like get three of them and then three more turn up.
Well, after the one fires at Mimi, Togemon evolves to Lilymon and then attacks it, but then more appear from behind it, and then now Metal Greymon's here for some reason.
To finish them off, because Metal Greymon's the big like main one.
But like, they're not even a threat, because Mimi literally grabbed one of their attacks and threw it back at them, so what's it gonna do?
It's gonna pad out the episode with Digivolution animations.
So then we get Metal Greymon, who fires one of the booby missiles. And did you notice the size of the booby missile? Because Garbagemon fires a poop at a missile, and the missile is huge. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's a lot bigger than Metal Greymon actually is.
Well, if it's data, it could just be a zip file that he launches and then gets extracted.
I'm not letting you have that one. It's done. They've done a weird scaling issue again.
Okay. There's also this part is when Mimi just forgets how to formulate sentences as the Trashman attack.
What does she do?
She just starts saying things like, nightmare.
Oh yeah, because it cuts to an advert, like a break, and then when it comes back, they've got the same bit before she attacks, and she's just like, nightmare.
She's completely broken down.
Mimi's gone. She's not there anymore.
Nightmare. Who needs to formulate full sentences?
Which he can barely do most of the time anyway. It then cuts back to Matt, who doesn't believe the illusion he saw. And then it shows us all the times that Matt has flipped out at Tai for no reason.
It's because Matt's thinking about why Tai might be his rival. And honestly, I think it does fit.
Only because Matt's got angry at him so many times.
Tai's made Matt angry lots of times.
But to be fair, Tai was the one who risked his life going through a firewall. He's the one who fought Dot Network Etamon and got sucked into the human world and stuff. So he's kind of earned the title of leader, if that makes sense. So I don't think Matt should really be the one to be like, oh, I want to be a leader now, I need to get stronger, because I left my brother in a park for weeks on end whilst I went to a restaurant and got angry at the person I was trying to find. Matt's making poor decisions and then gets angry because of the results of the poor decisions.
I agree that Matt should not be leader. However, Matt would not agree that Matt should not be leader, because Matt is Matt.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So he's kind of biased.
He just wants to be the best at it all, because now he's not really needed because his brother's stronger.
Matt's basically got this resentment towards Tai, because he feels like he could basically do what Tai's doing.
But he couldn't.
No, he probably couldn't. He hasn't had the character arc that Tai has had.
But then Shoryuman tells Matt that he knows that he doesn't believe in friendship, and he knows it in his heart of hearts. I'm like, where's this come from? So Matt does. So it's gone from Matt thinking that he won't be able to live up to what Tai's doing, and that his brother is now stronger, to, I don't actually think friends are a thing that exist. I'm like, okay, but you have the crest of friendship, and it's done things. You know, you've got Garurumon, you've got Metal Garurumon. So, like, it's a thing. It's a tangible thing. You're holding the crest of friendship, and it works. Friendship is a thing. You have friends. They are called friends. You've called them friends before. Like, he's called Pumpkinmon and Gotsumon friends. But no, in his heart of hearts, he knows that friendship isn't real.
As someone who has friends, but has been in a bad place, I can kind of empathize. Just like, when I feel particularly awful about myself, I feel like my friends aren't really friends.
It's not that, that's not what Cherrymon says. Like, I can understand and empathize with sometimes you think your friends aren't your friends. What Cherrymon is saying is that Matt doesn't believe that friendship is a thing. That's kind of a bit too far. That's not saying that he doesn't believe that these people are his friends, which I could believe if Cherrymon says to him, no, you don't think these people are your friends. You're just in a situation where you were forced to be around these people. I could believe that more than Matt believes that friendship isn't a thing that exists, which is what Cherrymon says.
Yeah, that's taking it too far.
If Cherrymon had said, you know deep down that these people aren't actually your friends, you were just forced into a situation with them, which, you know, that's kind of how friends exist. Like, you get put into a situation where you spend a lot of time around people, and that's how friends naturally occur. But if you looked at it in the same way, you could say, well, they're not actually your friends. They're only friends with you because you were put in that situation. Which I could understand Matt taking that and going, actually, you know what? Yeah, they're not really my friends. They're just people that I'm in, like, a survival situation with. I could see that being a thing and Matt taking that and having problems with that, but not, I don't actually think friendship is a real thing. It's weird, and it just makes Matt look worse.
This whole episode just really stretches to reach this end goal of Matt attacking Ty.
So then, this is when Matt has this weird moment, and he's like, okay, but what do I do, and everything, and Gabumon says that he will follow whatever Matt does, or he could have said, okay, but this tree is lying, this is an illusion that he's putting on the water.
He tried that.
Yeah, but he could have just said, why don't we go and talk to Ty, explain our feelings instead of, whatever you want to do, I'll follow you.
When has Matt ever explained his feelings?
Matt's pretty much said something along the lines of, I don't know what to do, I think I need to kill Ty. And Gabumon's gone, I don't know what you should do, but whatever you do, I'll follow. And then he gets a warped evolution. I'm like, no, don't be like, let's go kill our friends, now let's go get an ultimate evolution. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. It's like positive reinforcement for a negative thing.
It's basically a dark digivolution.
This is another thing they could have done better, which was he could have not had the evolution now, gone to talk to Ty, and them ending up having an argument because it's what they do, and then it getting out of hand, and then Matt being like, you know what, I don't have another choice, I'm gonna fight you to prove to you that I can do this, and Ty being like, no, I don't want to fight you because it's not what we need to do right now. And Matt kind of has a breakdown and says, no, I want to prove to myself that I'm strong enough to defeat you. And then they fight instead of being all like, no, Ty, I am all emo now. I'm so edgy.
Gabumon is the loyal dog.
I feel like they could have done this exact same episode better. Like, I feel like it's just worded awkwardly and it's shown weirdly. And I feel like they could have done it better. What they wanted from this episode, they could have done again in a better way, but it just doesn't seem to work very well.
So many jumps in logic in Matt's head that don't make sense, and plot holes such as him listening to Cherrymon instead of listening to Gabumon.
And like, it's in the space of one battle between some garbage mon. That's not that long. It's maybe like 10 minutes he's gone from, I'm kind of doubting myself, to, I must kill Ty now.
I have to kill Ty. It's the only way I can grow.
How? What are you going to achieve?
He'll get to be in charge. Of all the remaining kids, I'll just be like, why did you kill Ty?
Cherrymon tells Puppetmon what he's done. He tells Puppetmon that he should be careful for fighting the kids because they're strong. And Puppetmon's like, oh, so you're saying that, like, I won't be able to defeat them. But Cherrymon's like, dude, just be careful because they're powerful. And then he's like, okay, but I'm a murder, you know.
Yeah, Puppetmon has a temper on him.
Yeah, but that's not what bosses should do. I hate it in, like, films and games and stuff where they have the evil big boss and they just kill their subordinates. I'm like, it doesn't make you look powerful and terrifying.
I think it does in this case.
You think? I think it just makes villains look insecure.
Part of Puppetmon's inherent flaws as a character or as in his personality.
Maybe, but we've also seen Metal Seedramon attack one of his subordinates as well. I'm like, I don't like the trope of big boss will kill the minions because they're not good enough.
In this, it's not triggered because the minion's incompetent. He gets triggered because his minion doubts that he can successfully win this fight if he doesn't go into it like with the right mindset.
Okay, I think because of what the conversation of what TK said, you know, you don't have friends. And then for him to make that leap and say, you don't think I'll win because there's something that they have that I don't have. He could still be upset from the friendship thing and be like, oh, okay, so you think that they're all friends and I don't have friends. Better kill you.
Well, he doesn't make that connection between not having things and that thing being friends.
He just seems to be a bit odd. It feels really out of place and it feels weird.
He gets angry because he doesn't want to admit that the Digidestined have something that he doesn't have. Like a power or an ability or the strength to win. or whatever it is.
I'm just like, you don't have to show a villain being strong just by having them kill their followers.
I think it works here.
It's not as bad as, like, say, other people like Meotismon.
No, it's not that bad.
So it goes back to the kids who are still fighting Garbage Mon because that's the only thing they're doing this episode. And then Metal Garurumon appears and kills it because Matt is now a full-on edgelord and starts attacking Agumon. And it's all like, oh no, Ty, they're. And evil and edgy now because that's what we do. And everyone's like, Matt, what are you doing? Why are you being this idiot? Because from their perspective, TK comes back, Matt disappears. They're like, oh, Matt, I wonder where Matt's gone. Maybe he's in trouble. And then Garbage Mon appear, they fight it. Matt comes back and I was like, oh no, I'm going to kill you now, Ty. And they're like, why? What's this now? Why have you why have you done this? What's going on? It's just weird, and it looks like Matt's had a massive mood swing. And I'm glad everybody's just like, Matt, stop. Just stop this. You're being an idiot. And then the episode ends with them about to have a little fight. What will happen
in this epic battle?
Which will probably not be that epic because it's just Matt being a brat.
Yeah, Digimon battles are rarely epic.
Like, even in this one against the Garbage Mon, they had everybody doing their stock footage. Everybody got one attack and they all attack. That's great.
One last thing, which is that there's a bit in the episode where Matt's having his personal dilemma by the lake, and there's tons of leaves in the background which look pretty nice. So pretty good animation by Digimon standards. They could have left out the leaves, but no, they added leaves because the wind was blowing through the leaves and the trees and whatever.
Cool. My favourite thing was probably Mimi grabbing the poop, because it's, apart from that, there isn't too much else that there is in this episode that you can really say is good. I mean, I like it because it's, like I said earlier, it's the first step of Mimi changing her mind to becoming this person who we see later on starts to do a lot more for the group. What about you? What was your favourite thing?
I'd probably agree with you, just Mimi finally breaking down.
But it's not like breaking down in a bad way, it's breaking down in like a, you know what, screw this, I'm done. I am so done. I don't care that I'm grabbing poo. I'm just going to throw it back at them. I'm done with this. I want to go and just do what the rest of the things we were doing.
She's angry done for a little bit, and then she's scared done for a while. Where she's just like, nightmare. She's not had a fun time in the digital world.
No, she hasn't.
Overall thoughts.
The episode feels really clunky and like it's poorly written. Like, they have Matt go off on this random tangent because of feelings, which is okay, fine. Let him have a bit of a crisis. But then, like, a giant tree appears and spends half its time cracking jokes, which takes all the seriousness out of the conversation he's having.
It's not cracking jokes, it's slipping them into its sentences.
No, there's just loads of puns.
The puns are meshed into his sentences and the points he's trying to make. It's not just, here's a pun.
So that's half of the episode, which is like him trying to be convinced. And meanwhile, the gang spends like the entire episode fighting Garbage Mon. And it's like, that's seven of them. And they could have defeated them in a timely manner instead of having two ultimate evolutions and everybody attack now.
But then what else would they have done?
Anything else?
Wandered through the forest. They could have done a Pokemon.
Matt's had this mood swing because a tree lied to him. And now he wants to go and kill Ty. I'm like, okay. But I don't see how killing another child is going to get you to be stronger. I mean, what for? So he can protect TK. Because TK's proven that he doesn't need as much help from him. So Matt's salty because he no longer needs to protect his brother. So he wants to kill Ty to weaken the team so he can protect his brother again. All because a tree told him to? If you have problems with your power at the moment, you want to be stronger and you feel like you haven't changed, just talk it out with the group. Surely they would all say, look, you've changed a lot, actually.
Matt doesn't logic good.
But, like, his idea is to go and, like, defeat another member of their group. That's going to cripple the team. And now, right now, a quarter of the way through the Dark Masters. Just stop this, Ty. Stop this. I mean, Matt. Although, Ty, please stop it. Fight him and stop it. So, yeah, that's how I feel about the episode.
I think it could have been much worse. It was actually all right.
In what way would it have been much worse?
I don't know. I don't want to think about that.
You have to give me an example of how it could be worse.
Matt could come to the conclusion entirely by himself with no outside influence.
And that would be worse instead of the wisecracking tree?
Would you rather the wisecracking tree or just Matt brooding entirely alone?
I was about to say it would have been good if Puppetmon got and spoke to him, but to be honest, I couldn't see...
No, Matt would have just wanted to kill Puppet Mon because Puppet Mon kidnapped TK.
I couldn't see him being able to convince Matt because I feel like Puppet Mon's mentally younger than Matt.
And also, Puppet Mon kidnapped TK. It might have just gone away and been entirely alone with Gabumon and then decided, I need to kill Tai, with no attempt to actually logicking its way to it. Then that would have been awful.
Okay, yeah, that would have been worse.
If it was all just Matt's internal thoughts, that would have just been horrendously boring.
Cool. Anything else about this episode?
I actually quite like the second half. Like, once Tai had been revealed as the rival in the lake, from then on it was pretty good.
Nah, I wasn't a fan of this episode. I liked what they were going to try to do. I like the idea of them having an internal conflict, but I feel like it wasn't written in a way that was believable. Like, it does seem that Matt takes quite a mood swing. If they had done it slightly, like, a bit more gradually, maybe have this happen over two episodes.
But they did it over two episodes. What did you think the last episode was, with Matt being all angry at everything?
I just think they made it slightly less of a mood swing and more of a thing that's built up over time and something that we constantly get reminded of. It would have been better. I mean, I like what they were going to go for, but I'm not a massive fan of the execution. I'm like, I know you like Cherrymon, but I can't. You can't have a serious situation and have someone saying wood puns.
I think it works.
The second episode we're watching is Attack of the Prehistoric Pokemon.
Ash and Co stumble across Gary and a lot of other trainers that are digging for fossils because of some fossil rush thing. Team Rocket decide to get involved and plan to excavate the fossils very carefully, using a heap of dynamite to blow them sky high. Ash and Co try to stop them, but fail and end up falling through the floor all the way to the centre of the earth, but not really because it's nowhere near that deep. The roof somehow caves in and blocks the ceiling, and Ash and Team Rocket are caught between a rock and some prehistoric Pokemon. They fend them off just long enough for an Aerodactyl to arrive, which drags them through the ceiling and gets back into the present day, but grabs Ash. Charmeleon gets so angry it evolves to Charizard, and then chases Aerodactyl in the sky, while Jigglypuff, who's actually been in the background of this episode the entire time, sings its song to send Aerodactyl to sleep and save the day.
The gang are in Grandpa Canyon, because it's a play on Grand Canyon maybe, or something, but it's Grandpa Canyon.
I didn't get that.
They see a lot of people heading off to find fossils, including Gary, because of course he's there.
Because Gary's the best.
And Ash decides that he wants to go and get fossils just because Gary's got fossils, and he's not allowed to have things that Ash isn't. And then Brock says that maybe it's not the best to be getting these fossils out of the ground, because maybe it's not the best to preserve them. And Misty says that maybe the fossils might like a little fresh air. And then Ash says it's her brain that needs some fresh air. And I'm like, yeah, they're back to insulting each other again. Yay. Remember that one time in the last episode where they were genuinely nice to each other? And then we see Jigglypuff. And then it cuts to Gary, who's using a pickaxe, which is like, okay, that's not the best way of getting fossils, you know.
Yeah, you're probably going to damage something with that.
I'm pretty sure you don't get a pickaxe and just drive it into the ground willy-nilly, and then suddenly there's this perfectly preserved helix fossil under the ground.
Very close to the surface as well.
Basically does a few swings with a pickaxe, and then there's just a fossil there. And it's not like embedded in the ground, it's just like lay there. Like, he can just pick it out, and then he goes and takes it to what I'm assuming is the head excavator. And then he's told that, even though it looks exactly like a helix fossil, and it is a helix fossil, but then the head researcher, whoever it is, says that it's fossilized Pokemon poop. I'm like, it's not. It's really not. So then it cuts to Meowth, who's waiting for Team Rocket, and for some reason they're there and Ash and Co are there and they see Meowth, because what else are they going to do? And Meowth's waiting for Team Rocket, and then they appear and start doing the motto, and I'm like, oh my god, I love them so much. They're waiting. They don't know anybody else is watching, but there they go. They're doing the motto to Meowth, and I'm like, I love them. They're just the best people. So they've gone and set dynamite in the canyon, which will kill all these people down there because they just want to get some fossils. And I'm like, that's so murderous.
It is really extreme.
As we see later on, the actual thing does explode and no one gets hurt because it's just a wall. But for some reason, Ash and Co are like, oh no, people are going to get hurt because they're down there. I'm like, no, they're not. Like, they've not detonated them near anybody. But Ash is like, Team Rocket can't do their own thing, so let's go and stop them. And he's got Squirtle out to try and put out the fuse, and there's this little scene where they're running down all the slopes into the actual canyon itself to try and put out the fuse. They basically fail because Team Rocket send out Arbok and Weezing, and they end up rolling down this hill and stuff, and it's kind of funny.
But not really.
And the last attempt to put the thing out is Pikachu having a little panic.
Yeah, that's like the one actually funny bit.
uses thunder shock or something.
Uses thunder attack.
Okay, it does that. And then there's just that moment where everyone's just like, oh no. Because he's essentially detonated the bomb. And then it goes off, and no one dies and no one gets hurt, but the ground cracks apart and everyone's stuck under rubble.
Which is so dumb. The physics just don't work. How can you have a cave in that blocks the ceiling?
There's a perfect circle, but then there's lots of rubble in the circle, and it's like a perfect layer over it, which doesn't make sense because the rocks would just fall down. But then there's no rocks around Ash and Co. when they're down there. It doesn't make sense how this has worked. So Squirtle's still up there because someone has to survive, and Misty and Brock see it, and then they start trying to dig out the rocks, which they're stood on. So if there is a gap and all the rocks fall, Misty and Brock are just going to fall down. But okay. Jigglypuff sees this pile of rocks as a stage and then gets upset when it crumbles because, of course, Jigglypuff sees everything as a stage now. And then Ash and Team Rocket wake up and they're in this massive cavern underground and they can't get up. And James has a plan, and it's my favorite line of this episode. It's like, oh, what do we do? And James is like, I have a plan. We're all doomed. And I'm like, oh, don't say that, but it's funny. So Pikachu sees some glowing eyes.
And it's all the prehistoric Pokemon.
It is, because they're all awake now, because they've been sleeping for thousands of years.
They've been sleeping below the Earth's crust, because that's totally where they are right now.
Yeah, and that's not how it works. You don't just sleep for thousands of years. It's not a thing that you can do. And they're just in a cavern under the ground as well. Like, where's their food source?
They've been asleep, Sam.
Yeah, but they can't do that. That's not how it works.
I wish I could do that sometimes.
I also wish that I could sleep for thousands of years. They've all got bloodshot eyes because apparently they've just woke up and they're all annoyed. So Ash sends out Charmeleon, who won't listen, even though they're in a life-threatening situation. Like, Charmeleon, look, I get you kind of have this sassy attitude. These things will kill us and eat us, but go ahead, be moody. So the fossils give chase, and Ko at the top digging up the pile of rocks, even though they're like unaware that if they do dig up the pile of rocks, then they'll all fall in and die themselves.
Which is also really dumb. Let's dig through this ceiling so we can fall to our deaths, even though everyone else didn't die, despite falling supposedly to the center of the Earth. It's all just a Journey to the Center of the Earth ripoff. Horribly done.
But I feel like, you know who'd be really good in this situation against all these rock and water type Pokemon?
Bulbasaur. One time he doesn't use Bulbasaur.
He used every other Pokemon. Well, he used Squirtle and Charmeleon. But they run away because, plot convenient, the other fossil is here, which is Aerodactyl, who I really like. Aerodactyl's kind of cool.
Pikachu attacks the rock water Pokemon and it isn't effective, even though it should still be effective.
Yeah, because ground's resistant, but rock isn't.
They clearly don't know the Pokemon types, these writers. They should know that Kabutops is a rock water type and not a ground water. Also, Kabutops is the best.
I like Kabutops as well. I always used to pick Kabuto when picking one of the fossils in yellow, because Kabutops is pretty cool. And then Aerodactyl, because Aerodactyl's amazing. I think Aerodactyl's my favourite from Gen 1. I know yours is Kabutops. So Aerodactyl appears and decides to steal Ash and fly up and out into the world, even though it doesn't know that it's a thing that's happened. And there's more Jigglypuff, and Jigglypuff sees some stairs and some lights and decides that that's also a stage.
I've just thought of something. Them falling through the ceiling is what woke up all of the Kabuto and other Pokemon, isn't it?
Yes.
When did they wake up the Aerodactyl?
Maybe before, and it was just waiting.
It wasn't asleep for thousands of years, if that's the case. So it should have died.
Plot holes. Even the holes in this episode don't make sense because apparently anti-gravity rubble. So it steals Ash and flies up, and Charmeleon grabs on, even though Charmeleon doesn't care, grabs on, and so does Pikachu. And they break out at the top, and everybody manages to get away in time, and no one ends up getting hurt, even though they could have. Like, how did they know that Aerodactyl was rising up? Charmeleon and Pikachu fall off, but Aerodactyl's still flying away. Then Aerodactyl sasses Charmeleon for some reason, and then Charmeleon decides to evolve out of spite. So we've had, what, 30 episodes of Charmander? And then we've had maybe three with Charmeleon. And then we have Charizard. Which, for me, feels really, really, really dumb.
It is wrong. It is just wrong.
Like, they literally evolved Charmeleon just to advance the plot.
I hate Pokemon.
They could have done something really nice with Charmeleon, but they didn't. Instead, they were just like, yeah, it could be a moody teenager for like 3 episodes, and now we have Charizard because they need someone to fly. So then Ash is like, oh, you evolved because you care about me, and then gets blasted in the face because no, it's because Aerodactyl sassed it. So apparently sassing is a battle. So you can evolve a Pokemon by not battling and pretending to battle it, like they did with Paris, and also can evolve through sass.
They just get really angry and evolve.
So then Jigglypuff sings, and everyone falls asleep because Misty decides that Jigglypuff can sing and solve the problem.
Jigglypuff is here to plot device.
So Aerodactyl lets go of Ash and then falls back into the hole. Lets go of Ash, falls into the hole, lands on the floor, and the vibrations seal the hole up perfectly.
Again.
And then Charizard, as it's falling, picks up Ash and then lands. Ash rolls off its back onto an egg. But like, that's it. That's the problem solved. It's not like Aerodactyl's not gonna wake up and break back out again and start eating people. No, it's just fallen down there, so it's fine. Let's not remember that there's that place down there with all the fossil types that have never been seen by people. So Jenny's like, you can't come here because we've decided to postpone it because of plot reasons, so everyone go away now. And then the gang just leave because, yeah, that's fine. And Ash decides to show everybody the egg that he stole, and Brock decides to steal it, and they run off and...
Oh, and Ash forgets Officer Jenny's name. He calls her Joy.
But they're running off, doing their own thing, having little japes and larks. Meanwhile, they've disturbed a really ancient ecosystem and have stolen an egg.
But it's fine, because Team Rocket are down there still, to keep them busy. I wish I knew how Team Rocket made out of these situations.
They don't.
They just die and get replaced.
What was your favourite thing?
Pikachu electrocuting the dynamite.
That's exactly the same as mine. I thought yours was going to be Kabutops.
Okay, then I'll pick Kabutops instead. Just because it's the one time Kabutops is here, and I like Kabutops an awful lot.
Even though it's only in for like... All it does is it's there, it chases them, then runs away.
He tries to kill them, which is what a good Kabutops does. Tries to kill things.
Yeah, mine's Pikachu when it electrocutes the dynamite, and everyone's just like, oh god, no. It's great. Overall thoughts?
I hate this episode.
Why?
Because it sucks. It's the fillerest of the filler. Nothing is accomplished, really. Nothing should be accomplished at all. It's entirely cliche and predictable. It has chase scenes, not once but twice in the episode, that just fill time, supposedly for comedic effect, but they aren't even that funny. The physics don't make sense of how the hole in the ceiling gets filled up, which is just entirely dumb. It cuts to Jigglypuff every once in a while just to remind us that Jigglypuff is there, does that a few times, and it's Jigglypuff imagines a stage. Oh, the stage is gone. Jigglypuff's mad. That was worth cutting away for. Thanks. And then there's the evolution. Why? Just why?
It just feels so contrived, doesn't it? Just out of nowhere.
I was having a perfectly mediocre time watching the episode. Just be like, oh, okay, it's just bland, standard Pokemon, whatever. It's fine. And then Charmeleon started evolving. And I was literally watching this by myself. There was no one else there. And I was just staring at the screen going, what? What? And then Ash rolls over and lands on the Togepi egg. Which was like, what? It's so ridiculous.
But that's the plot.
It's so bad. It's just like, let's not come up with real reasons. Let's just do it. It's just there. Just like, evolve now. Egg is there. Pick it up. He literally rolls on top of it. He doesn't even see it. It's just there. Oh my god. How did the egg get there? It was nowhere. It didn't exist until Ash rolled off of the Aerodactyl.
Yeah, no, like, it just feels super contrived. Like, Ash only digs there because Gary's digging. He only tries to stop the explosion because Team Rocket's there. Because he overheard Team Rocket. Like, no one was at risk with the dynamite. Like, they follow it and fall into a cave, and they're a Pokemon. And instead of trying to be like, oh, these are rare Pokemon, let's try and catch them. He's like, no, let's run away from them now. Because why would I actually try and catch something that's rare?
I think Team Rocket tried to catch them. Team Rocket's smart. They were like, oh my god, these are rare Pokemon. They should be extinct. They're worth lots of money.
But then they leave, and then Ash needs to be saved. So what do? They get his Pokemon to evolve so it can conveniently fly.
It doesn't evolve to save Ash. It evolves because they want the Charizard there to make it more marketable.
Yeah, basically.
Just like, oh, Charizard's cool. Kids like Charizard. We need it to evolve to Charizard ASAP. Well, why would it evolve? Because it's f***ed off. Do it. It's the worst episode. It's just a series of events. That's it. There's no reason for any of the stuff to happen. They just do it.
A series of inconsequential events.
It's just that things happen. There's no why. And the things that happen aren't even that entertaining. This wasn't fun at all. I didn't enjoy it at all.
I thought it was okay.
I hate this episode a lot. It's so bad.
Now it's time for Mono a Mono, where we talk about the similarities and the differences in these episodes.
So let's start with our monsters of the week.
Mine is Aerodactyl, because it is one of my, I think it's my favourite fossil of the first generation. I did like Kabuto a lot, but I like Aerodactyl because it's a giant flying dinosaur, basically.
I like Aerodactyl because it always felt like an achievement when I spelt his name right.
Yeah, I've actually spelt this one wrong. Aerodactyl. I don't know why there's a Q there, but okay.
Aerodactyl.
What was your monster of the week?
My monster of the week was Metal Garurumon.
Metal Garurumon. Why?
Because he's a metal wolf. He's awesome. And he just tried to kill Agumon.
Its attack is Metal Wolf Claw.
Which is an ice missile.
I love it when they have Digimon that have attacks that are like Iron Fang, and it's like they shoot a beam from their like tail or something. It's like, it's none of these things.
Oh, Dub. Why do you make these mistakes?
But no, Metal Garurumon's not good because he attacks Agumon. It's not good, it's a bad thing.
But as a character, he's cool. He's super loyal to Matt, even though Matt is unfortunately an idiot.
I do think it's one of the coolest designs.
Who looks at Metal Wolf and says that's not cool?
I think Mecha Wolf is pretty neato.
It's like two of the best things.
The way you design a Digimon is you get an animal and then you strap metal onto it. This is the most metal you can get. Just, it is now made of metal.
Nothing but metal.
Which one do you think had the best storyline?
Digimon.
Oh, okay.
Because Pokemon sucked.
I said Pokemon.
Why would you say that?
Digimon doesn't really do anything except Matt talks to a tree and everybody fights garbage.
It's still better than Pokemon.
At least in Pokemon, they've ended up somewhere, which is what they always do. And we get to see fossil-type Pokemon.
Pokemon has no overarching storyline.
They're in a canyon with fossils. That's
things
the story.
Things happen. It's a chain of events that I don't care about.
More happens in Pokemon than what happens in Digimon.
More happens with Matt in Digimon.
Not really. He just stands there whilst a tree talks at him.
He does lots of thinking. He comes to horrible conclusions as a result, but it's still more than Pokemon, where they did lots of running around. And then Charmeleon evolved for no reason. And then there was a Togepi egg.
Okay, I don't think the Charmeleon evolution was justified at all. But then I also don't feel like Metal Garurumon was justified at all either.
I suppose that is a similarity. They should not be evolving for these reasons.
Yeah, okay, so you thought Digimon was better and I thought Pokemon was better.
I think Digimon had the better storyline because it had the rubbish that Pokemon had, but that was only half the episode. The other half of it was also Matt and his internal conflict.
Any similarities?
There was one character being separated from the rest of the group.
I didn't get that one.
Ash was left underground. Team Rocket was there as well, but Ko was still above the surface. And Matt just secluded himself because he's Matt.
And the gang were fighting Garbage Mon. There are old things, like Cherrymon and fossils. It's one thing I got. I couldn't really think of too much.
No, could we have people on the same side hurting each other? Because Puppetmon kills Cherrymon and Charizard burns Ash.
Yeah, we could have that one. Another thing, they're both kind of badly written ideas which would have been good. Like Digimon trying to explore something which I would find interesting if they took out all the bad jokes and gave Matt a bit of a gradual mood change. I think my only problem with Matt being the way he is that his mood swing is such a 180 and it's so sharp a turn. If he had had more time to come to this conclusion, not like a 5-minute talk to a tree and then he wants to suddenly murder Ty.
Sam.
Yes.
He had a 20-minute talk to a tree.
Oh, well, forgive me. I think they could have given Matt a better and a more gradual mood swing. I mean, I like the idea of Matt coming to the conclusion that he has to prove to Ty. It's almost like he has to prove to Ty that he's stronger than him. I kind of like that idea, but I do feel like the execution was a bit weak, which doesn't help because Matt's kind of one of the worst characters, in my opinion, mood-wise anyway, and confrontation-wise. And then with Pokemon, like, the fossil Pokemon don't actually do anything. They're just there for a few shots, and then Aerodactyl. So I feel if they were going to explore fossil Pokemon a bit more, it would have been good to see people actually interact with them. Like, they're not even in the same shot, I don't think, for too many shots as actual people. They're just sort of in one, all of them lined up, and then Ash and Team Rocket run away, fossil Pokemon chase them, and then they're in a corner, and then they run away. And, like, it'd be nice if instead of maybe a canyon, they would have gone to a research lab or something like that. Maybe they would have gone to the canyon, found a fossil, and it's like an ammonite or something. And then they go to a lab, and they go to where this lab is. And in there, there's like a small reserve. And in there are all the fossil Pokemon that have been regenerated. And then Ash or whoever gives them the fossil, and it regenerates. And like, Ash doesn't get the Pokemon, because why would he do that? But at least then you could have seen them. And then maybe Team Rocket could have released Aerodactyl from a cage. And that's when he goes a bit mad. But it didn't have to be... There's a hole which is somehow being supported by these rocks. There are some fossil Pokemon, but they're over there. Like, they're not going to do anything. They're just over there looking mad. And now Aerodactyl's there. I don't know. I like both ideas. I like what they're both aiming to do, but I don't like how it turned out.
They were both bad episodes in general.
Any differences? Especially this episode, I've taken a note of just how different both of them are at telling jokes. Like, Pokemon tends to do a lot of physical comedy, like Ash gets burnt in the face and stuff, and they blow up the dynamite, and it's everybody's reaction before the dynamite explodes. With Digimon, it's all these puns that are thrown in the middle of sentences, and I feel like Digimon seems to want to cram funny jokes in every chance they get, even when it's a dark scene. Like, they're not okay with there being a darker scene without there being a joke in there. It's almost like they want to lighten the mood a bit. But with Pokemon, they seem to be okay with having things like the Gengar down in the cavern, and there's evil Pokemon that are showing their sides at them, and it's a bit of a dark moment where, you know, they're going to get attacked by these Pokemon. You know, they don't tend to let that comedy, they don't tend to put comedy into those sort of situations.
So Digimon makes too many jokes and Pokemon doesn't.
Kind of, yeah. I'm not saying that they're bad jokes. Some of the jokes in Digimon are kind of funny. It's just I tend to enjoy it when there are, you know, less jokes than there normally are, because it doesn't let you get into a serious situation. It doesn't let you get into the story if there's things cracking, fish jokes or whatever.
I like the fish puns. The cat puns suck, but the fish puns are great.
I thought the cat puns were perfect. Any differences?
The rivalry in Pokemon is between Ash and Gary, who are quite clearly not supposed to be on the same team. But the rivalry in Digimon is between Ty and Matt, who are supposed to be working together. So them fighting is actually a bad thing.
Here's the thing. Do you think that Ty and Matt's rivalry's always been there? Or do you think it's something that's just recently happened? Because in Pokemon, Ash and Gary's rivalry has been from the start. But I don't think that Matt and Ty's rivalry's always been there. I think it's only a recent thing. As in, like, this episode recent.
No, I don't think so. Because all the way from the beginning of the series, whenever Ty made a suggestion, Matt would offer a different one. And try and explain why Ty's suggestion was stupid. Like, even in episode 2, Ty's like, let's go to the beach. They have constant disagreement.
Aren't rivals two people who are aiming for the same goal?
Yeah, and Matt and Ty are both competing to lead the group.
But I wouldn't think that Matt was aiming to do that until this episode. Because Matt had the opportunity to be leader when Ty left, and he didn't. So I feel like their rivalry's new.
No, I don't think so. They've been arguing the entire series, so I can see this disagreement.
But arguing and being rivals are different.
What do you do with your rival?
Try to be better than them.
Yeah, so you try and put forward a better suggestion and win the argument.
That'll be one for the listeners then. Let us know if you think that Matt and Ty's rivalry has always been a rivalry, or if you think it's relatively new.
I think it's been there. Matt's definitely just disagreed with Ty on every decision so far, pretty much anyway.
I definitely think they are rivals now, but I don't think they've always been rivals, because Matt and Ty have fought, but so have several other people, mostly with Matt. Matt is everyone's rival.
Matt's decided to compete with Ty now because he's convinced himself that he can't grow as a person until Ty steps aside so that he can step into the forefront.
So you think Matt feels threatened, so now he's going to go for what Ty has, which is the leadership?
He doesn't feel threatened. He feels held back by the fact that he can't have this role that Ty has. He's tired of being second in command, and he feels like he can't develop until he takes the leadership from Ty.
Yeah. Okay, I see that, yeah.
I think that's what they were going for. They reached it in a really dumb way.
But I see what you mean. Which episode did you enjoy the most?
Digimon.
Okay. I kind of enjoyed Pokemon more.
Why?
I don't enjoy this. This is the second episode where they've had most of the gang, well, everybody apart from one, just fighting a Digimon just to pad for time. And I feel like it's kind of a cheap excuse.
All of Pokemon is padding for time.
Not all of it.
Literally all of it.
Although he hasn't had a badge in several episodes.
Exactly. This entire episode's just padding for time till he gets another gym badge.
He has got Charizard, though.
which he did not earn. Do not reward Ash for doing nothing.
I just don't know where Charmeleon and Charizard came from.
I liked the evolution to Charmeleon because he'd done it after a battle with tons of Exeggutor and using his Fire Breath a lot, which was good. It's how Pokemon works. Pokemon doesn't work in Charmeleon does nothing for the entire episode, gets peeved, and then is so angry it evolves to Charizard.
I feel like he hasn't exactly done anything special as Charmander to make it become Charizard.
But with Charmeleon, anyway. He used Charmander a lot. With Charmeleon to Charizard, it's completely unjustified.
Charmeleon to Charizard was just a mood swing, and it just felt so weird.
Ash just gets all the good stuff for doing nothing right. It's rewarding his incompetence as a trainer, which isn't right. It just annoys me and makes me hate it, and hate Ash. And Charizard, it made me hate Charizard, and I used to love Charmander. And I liked Charmeleon as well.
To be fair, I really like Charizard. It's my favourite of the start of the first season starters. And I do feel like it's not as grand an entrance as it could be.
Because it's too soon. The gap between Charmeleon and Charizard is 10 times shorter than the gap between Charmander and Charmeleon.
Really? How many episodes has it been?
It's been like 3 episodes. This is the 4th episode that we've had Charmeleon in.
I'm also not happy that Ash and Misty had their little comment.
Well, that's just them.
I did feel like they were getting on better terms.
For one episode. Also, they brought back Jigglypuff again, which just feels like a cheap excuse for an episode.
To be fair, if you watched the last episode and this episode together, you could kind of see it as a two-parter, as the story of Jigglypuff.
The joke with Jigglypuff got old last episode.
I agree with you and say Digimon, because like you've just said, they used the joke with Jigglypuff last episode. The fossil Pokemon didn't actually do anything. At least in Digimon, the kids were fighting, and then Matt was having his internal struggle, which in of itself was kind of poorly written, but it's a good concept.
We didn't even mention the numerous amount of plot holes that Pokemon has.
Like the anti-gravity wall stone.
The anti-gravity ceiling. The fact that Team Rocket was planting dynamite on the top of the cliff, which was then at the bottom of the cliff. These fossil Pokemon have been asleep for 10,000 years. They've fallen below the crust of the Earth, a whole, like, I don't know, 10 metres. It's just a bad Journey to the Centre of the Earth ripoff.
It's going to Digimon then. Okay, what is the score now?
It's 22-22.
It isn't an obvious winner at the moment.
We've got 10 episodes left. We're almost there. Join us again next time, where we'll be watching episode 45.
A Chancy Operation and The Ultimate Clash.
You can listen to more of us on SoundCloud, iTunes or Stitcher, where we like getting reviews and comments.
And you can message us via our Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, with the Warthread and email, which are all linked in the show notes.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Butterfree. Primate. Almost Pikachu. Illustration is the funnest segment.
The funnest. It's not.
I enjoy it.
It's good, but don't you enjoy, you know, the actual the meat of the podcast, the thing that we do where we talk about Pokemons and the Digimons?
It's all right.
We could just stop here if you want, start the episode, and that can be the podcast every week.
We should talk about the actual episodes. So, cut music number two.
Cut music the first.
Number two.
Cut music the second. Cut music number two, Electric Boogaloo.
Scrolling down.
Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. Whilst Matt leaves the group to go have an existential cry. I can't say the word existential, there's too many syllables.
Existential.
Let's slow down it, Sam. Let's slow down it. Oh, come on, Sam. I just want to sentence properly and I can't even words today. Okay. Whilst Matt leaves the group to go have an existential crisis and talk to a tree, the rest of the kids fight garbage to pad out the episode as much as they can. Need I say more?
Yeah, there was a talking tree.
I said to talk to a tree.
Oh, it was so fast.
It wasn't that fast. I slowed down for that one.
It was a blur.
Whilst Matt leaves the group to have an existential crisis and talk to a tree, the rest of the kids fight garbage to pad out the episode as much as they can. Is that better?
And then Matt breaks down and takes mental Coagamon. Metal Coagumon.
Takes Metal Coagumon because he doesn't like the Gabumon.
Doesn't exist. And takes Metal Gabumon back to the group.
Wait, did you say Coagumon?
I said Metal Coagumon.
Okay.
That does not exist. That would be pretty cool, though. Takes Metal Gabumon back to try and kill Agumon.
Okay. Well, I keep saying so. I say so a lot, so I'm changing it to well. You need to talk now.
About what?
About Mimi catching the poop.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, she's just done with it.
You
probably didn't get that through audio then, but I was just shrugging my shoulders.
Audio shrug.
Eh. Audio shrug.
Okay, audio shrug. That'd be a really cool like indie band name. We are Audio Shrug. Today we're playing, I don't know, some song about ice cream.
There isn't really anyone else to be his rival, apart from Rio.
Who?
Rio.
We don't talk about him yet.
He could be in the digital world right now.
That's an entire season away, at least.
Could he actually be in the digital world right now? He probably could be, based on the timelines.
No, it's...
When is Ken, like, a little kid in the digital world with Sam?
I think this is, like, after Adventure.
But Ken is... That could actually have been before Adventure.
I feel like it's after this adventure, but before O2. Like, just after this, when the kids...
I like to think they're at the same time.
Okay, you can do that.
In my head, canon, Rio is Matt's rival.